Griffey buffs.
In order. I said the mountain was in a nearby town were named Swastika in the early 1900s. That's a really important point. Long before the Nazis.
Yep.
After a local ranch that bore the name and used the symbol to brand the cattle. So according to the U.S. According to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, the symbol signified well-being in multiple ancient societies across the world.
Yeah, Sanskrit,
until it was co-opted by Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Despite its innocent origins, Tomchuk said that it's important to consider what a geographic feature is called and what the name represents. Wow, she in charge of the whitewashing committee. What we name things are features reflects history and also reflects values. And as history changes, so do values. Wait, what? You want to change history? All right. So he said, and certainly something bearing the name of Swastika in 1903 is different than in 2022, when it's been associated with such an evil person and evil ideology. The Historical Society and its board are considering renaming it Mount Halo, named after Chief Halido. And I'm going to mispronounce this, and I'm sorry. The Yankala Kalapuya tribe. McLean had proposed naming it the Umpqua Mountain. With she withdrew her suggestion because nobody could spell it correctly.
I have a new headline. 81-year-old woman discovers Google Maps.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, there you have it. They wanted to rename a mountain.
Can you imagine, like, if Hitler had picked, like, a four-leaf clover or a smiley face?
Or an emoji.
What would that have done Ireland?
Like, what if it had been an emoji, you know, and nobody could use that emoji anymore? Yeah.
Just turn it a little bit to hashtag,
yeah,
right?
There you go.
Or like a heart shape. Like no one could ever, like, I heart you. It's like, what? You Nazi made? Man, what?
That is just horrible. Yeah. I agree, Dave. You know?
Yeah.
So think about the long term implications when you're going to be a cruel, evil dictator.
It just takes one jerk.
Think about the long term aspects of what you're doing.
Exactly.
Oh, we'll be back in just a minute.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as the willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. On the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So, we're doing a takeover today of Dovetail Brewery.
Did we need to talk about Swastika Mountain a little more?
In Chicago, Illinois. But
Blitzkrieg?
But right but right before the break, we were talking about Swastika Mountain.
Yeah, you know, it was a little, when I first, you know, was reading through this storyline, I was a little concerned. Obviously, we're not politically driven, you know, or have
or correct
or yeah,
or any of those things.
This,
right.
Yeah, usually talking about, you know, whitewashing history is not our jam. So, I don't know. It was just an interesting choice that Joyce was making. You know, it's like
that was the hill she chose to die on.
You know, it's
mountain. Sorry,
it reminds me. So right now, in Florida, the thing that everybody's protesting where they are putting in all of these roundabouts in every place that you would have a red light or a four-way stop.
Because it's un-American.
And the part of Florida where I'm in, the one roundabout that is like this major intersection, it is the one part of the entire county that has more accidents in it than any other part of the entire county. So everybody is just up in arms. They're like, these European roundabouts, you know, are just horrible. We have to get rid of these. They're so un-American.
Is part of that maybe that Florida's full of really old people from...
Probably no. People like Joyce that have like a gazillion opinions and they want to get up each day and going, let's go down and get rid of that turnaround.
Roads aren't supposed to be roundabout. Round. They're supposed to be square.
They identify as HOA presidents. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. For sure. Absolutely. Right. That is totally it. You know,
you guys are wrong.
You know, in fact, that's the way they introduce themselves to others. Hey,
according to Robert's Rules of Order, you need to check in first.
My name is Joyce. I am the president of the HOA of Sunnyside. You know, that's exactly how they introduce themselves as well. Like, that is the pinnacle of their entire contribution to society as being the president of the Homeowners Association, for sure. So, yeah, it's like... You don't even have to ask, why do you introduce yourself that way? You don't even go there. You're like, oh, of course, I know you. You're the one that sits around watching Price is Right going, they're wrong. writing a 10-page memo, to the Price is Right going, I don't think that was the price.
$24.99, I remember when you could get that for $15.
P.S. Bring back Bob Parker.
I'm telling you, it's like going back and do you want to rename the critters of the forest, because they might, share the name of some, evil dictator,
Feel like there's a personal story there where you were hurt one day, Mike, and when you're ready to talk about it, I'm here for you.
Yeah. I need more beer.
Okay.
I need a good Kolsch is what I need more than
speaking of that.
Oh, yeah. Really? Good transition.
Let's get to a Kolsch. Interesting. Why is it that when you see a Kolsch on tap or you see a Kolsch in a can, what is it? What about the green? It's always about a green.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it was a branding component of the way that they used to do that in Germany. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this one is 4.6% ABV. It's a happy beer. It's sessionable and it makes you want to have... Happy.
Mike's about to explode.
It makes you want to have glass after glass. Fruity, floral, and crisp.
I usually have that feeling after a certain ball game, but
it is all of those. The one word I always think of when I'm thinking of a Kolsch is delicate.
Mm.
And this is delicate.
I would say the first thing I think of when I think of Kolsch is crisp. Mm. I really want that super crisp lager, finish on the back end of this. I want just a hint of some lemon and bitterness, that has that citrus and rind to it.
The first thing I think of is, did they say... hyphen style, because if they didn't, there are going to be some really mad people out there.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You're not in cone. You can't make a Kolsch.
Are you saying that the Oxford comma can't be utilized in this?
I think also, people get weird. Like if someone says it's a lager, well, it's really not a lager. It's a cold fermented.
It could be a lager.
It's a cold fermented ale.
Sure.
Honestly, but
still,
people go crazy about that. Like, there's bigger problems.
But I have people go, compare this to Little Kings, which is a cream ale. It's not even remotely close.
It's not in a tiny bottle.
Not in a tiny green bottle.
Right. Correct.
Is it because it's green?
I don't know.
I like this beer.
Personally, it's too sweet and creamy for me.
This beer?
Well,
that's because you're Kolsch. Too sweet already. Yeah. Mike's such a sweetie.
He just dipped his finger in it.
Yes, it is.
Okay, isn't the thing about a Kolsch, though, isn't it supposed to have a little sweetness?
A little sweetness.
Because it kind of reminds me of... My box are similar to me in the sense that it has that little bit of like honeyed sweetness. Mm-hmm. And a good Kolsch has that little bit of honeyed sweetness.
But it needs to be drier.
But then it dries out in the finish. But I'm getting that.
But in the beginning.
I like honey on saltine crackers. I'm weird. This reminds me of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All those flavors are
there. Perfect, actually.
I do not like this Kolsch.
Well, there were two beers in a row that you kind of liked. So, I mean...
We're waiting for today.
It was bound to end at some point. So.
We're saving the berries for later.
Yeah. But this
all
is...
the berries.
Okay, but the thing too is how many Kolsches have you had in your life? That's not... This is not an everyday...
Never challenge Michael.
Were you in Kolsch?
Several dozen?
Yeah.
Okay, but... Whatever.
Kendall's had probably had several dozen.
Fine.
Last week, actually, when he was in them.
Okay. I think it's a decent Kolsch. And for everyone besides Mike, we're going to rate this a 3.
Yes. In spite of Mike. That should be the new name of this show.
In spite of Mike.
It could be a new segment. In spite of Mike segment.
I have a feeling our Canadian audience would have picked up by probably 18% points.
We could write stories like this and just title it the In Spite of Mike.
In spite of Mike, yeah.
And was it a story that we went out and found online? Did we create it?
I really need some porch juice. That's what I need next.
Yes. All right. Porch juice, I like that.
That's gonna be your next homebrew, the next half of ice you make. You're gonna call it porch juice.
Let me tell you something. Can we go ahead and rate this next beer one?
Okay, stop.
Right before we even taste
extra prunes.
What we are talking about next, folks, is the Hefeweizen
style.
Yes.
I can't even smell it.
Okay, 4.8% ABV. Easy to drink with a lingering, pleasant aftertaste. A rich, yolky orange wheat beer. I've never heard that term before.
Yolky is not something I would describe a beer with positively, generally.
Featuring the aroma of clove and fruit in perfect balance.
Which fruit?
Refreshing on a warm day with a hint of mandarin orange-like acidity.
Honeydew. Wow, this is not a good hefe. It is too watery, I think, is probably the first thing that's getting at me. And I don't like the front end. I didn't particularly care for the aroma.
He don't like the front end. He don't like the back end.
He's got some problems with what's going on in the middle there, too. Yeah.
To add on to what Mike is saying, this is a really good hefe. I'm really enjoying it. Got a nice mouth feel. The banana is muted, which I don't like overly banana, which is why I'm really digging this. This is a good hefe.
So you like the hefe that doesn't taste like a hefe? Is that what you just said?
That was my first thought.
That's what you just said.
See, like everything Kendall said is why I don't like it.
What? So you want the banana?
I want all banana. All the banana.
This explains
a
lot.
You're such a minion.
I mean, there's so many hefes are just over the top banana, and I feel like it's kind of muted in this one. I don't like that.
I hate to admit it, but I actually like this beer because of what you said. Like,
I think the mouth feels
not
soft.
Over the top.
Yeah,
you know,
this is not soft. I mean, I always think of wheat beers as being kind of pillowy, and you know, they're all kind of soft.
Did you
pour
Mike the wrong beer?
Yeah, I don't know, but this is not. I'm sorry, but
okay, hold the phone.
Pillowy and soft does seem
hold
a bit excessive.
The phone. Okay, so I'm going to speak for a second. I really like this one too. A, because it's not overly banana, but B, the clove on it is not overdone, but it's
not
there.
Mm-hmm.
No, and it but it's there and it lingers throughout the entire thing, and it's
go ahead.
Wow.
I'm gonna let you finish.
He's not gonna be invited.
Okay,
back,
Kanye.
Oh my god,
you're I doing you the mean, same yeah. thing. You're saying I love everything about this beer that is not a Hefeweizen. I love the fact that it's not a banana bomb. I love the fact that it's not overdone.
I don't know. That,
okay,
I don't know.
Those things are
because this version of a Hefeweizen is what it truly should be.
I agree with that. I think everyone else is doing. I think this is more authentic because of the German influence they got in school, and too many American Hefeweizens are just over the top.
Right.
I always wondered why there were so many Hefeweizens with as bad as so many of them are with the banana.
Because maybe the American palate wants bananas.
Yes, I think
Jack Daniels.
Those things that you say they're not in here, all are hallmarks of a good Hefeweizen.
Go
yes, it needs
bananas.
To smell like
go bananas.
Yes.
Go bananas. See, I'm so glad it doesn't. Can we rewrite the rules? This is better.
She's trying to. You know,
I think we all are.
A Hefeweizen should not have banana. No, it should have bananas in it. There is no banana in this. You know,
I would like to point out.
I'm sorry, as Kendall's looking up, it should have fruity esters that are tropical forward. That's what it should say.
Well,
I thought there were Heinz Kebab. Where did it include banana?
Yeah, it shouldn't be watery.
I think there is like a tiny hint of a fruitiness, if you will, but
I can think of 30 heffies that are better than this. So.
And that's what's nice about it.
Yeah.
So the overall impression per the BJCP is a pale, spicy, fruity, refreshing wheat based ale.
No fruit.
Wheat based ale.
And that's what this is.
Yeah, I think it is.
No fruit.
Nails it.
Man. So.
There you go.
I don't know.
Tough and I still don't
know. Despite what Mike said.
Here's the thing. Here's the crazy.
In spite of Mike. That's right. Yeah. In spite of Mike.
Here's the crazy thing about these style guidelines is the flavor can be low to moderately strong banana and clove flavor.
There you go. So you've that's got a wide range.
Basically, you can have none or you
drove
can have
a Mack truck through none.
So you put wheat in it.
It's okay. Really rare you see low to moderately strong. That's a pretty wide range.
In spite of Mike, we're going to rate this a 4.
I'm still rating it a 4.
No, it's a 4.
It's on principle. It's
really well done.
For what it is, it was a pretty tasty beer, but that style should
be. All the stuff on the port
is my least favorite.
I'm going to write a letter to the BJCP. They just need to get rid of this.
I like it, but if I was sitting in the Dovetail tap room, I would just probably drink the Helles Lager over and over again.
Yeah.
Well, 100%. Sure, because honestly, who really seeks out a Heffa?
I would be drinking that Saison. All
dirty,
dirty
people.
No, but I mean, if you have a good variety like we have here in front of us from Dovetail, are you going to go to the Heffa as your first pick?
I would like to disavow all.
Somebody tell me, or write in if you know, is there a Hefeweizen only brewery out there in the world? And if there is,
please, Hefeweizen drinkers, don't be mad.
Please shut down immediately. but I'm pretty sure there's not.
All right, fine. Let's get to a bonus beer.
A bonus beer.
Exactly.
Ooh, good.
So what,
raspberry Heffa.
Okay. What we're talking about, man, folks, is the 2020 Creek. 6.5% ABV. Every July, they spend a day destemming Michigan-grown Ballaton cherries from their year's harvest.
Machi.
They destemmed nearly 2 tons of cherries.
Yep.
To make this vintage of their creek, which then spent a year on their 1 and 2 year old spontaneously fermented beer.
2 tons of cherries.
I like this beer, and the reason that is sticking out to me is it is not overtly tart. Ballaton cherries are sweeter, and I really like the choice that they had, you know, in making this, and this is very well balanced. I love this beer. I think it is very well executed.
This is a nice creek.
This is a really great creek.
Well, and you hit on that. A lot of creeks are really tart. I mean, overly tart. This one is there.
Yeah.
But it just kind of blends in with the rest of the flavors. Those cherry flavors are so beautiful.
I think the acidity jumps in at the front and then goes away. It's like,
barely there. It's not off-putting, and it's in good balance with, you know, the rest of the sugars that are there. There's
some kind of spiciness in there that I like, and it's just...
Yeah.
It's a very interesting beer.
And the aroma on this is absolutely stunning.
I mean, this is one example of why beer is so superior to wine in every
I would, you know, it's really funny.
Way.
It's really funny you're about to say that because the two
wine people here at the table are going, no.
Well, I was thinking to myself that you were talking about that spicy scent. It was like, it reminds me a lot of like some whole cluster grape.
Yeah, but way better though, right? I mean, like
making me think: could I do like whole cluster? Like, cherry wine? If they didn't destem it entirely, would that totally screw things up? Would it give you a more
woody?
I don't know. Would it give you a woody?
It would have been asking? More vegetal for sure. You know, we've had a lot of great creeks, you know, on the show. I really loved
Cripple Creek,
New Belgians. I loved, that was a really great, Transcontinental, Trans something?
Bone Creek?
Yeah, we've done Bone before.
Bone's probably the best creek.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I really love the Firestone Walker, Creaky Bones, that's good as well. This is, but the key thing about this is absolutely the balance. And so I really love this.
This is very well done.
Yeah. Yeah. This yeah, is. Cool. And there's just that slight hint of balsamic-iness.
Yes.
From absolutely. Like that I get from the Bones Creek, too.
Yeah. I want to serve it over some nice fresh greens.
Okay. We are going to rate this beautiful 2020 Creek a 5.
Wait, you want to serve this with that Southern Grist beer? Oh,
no,
wait, that's
no, mixed no, greens. No, I like fresh greens, real greens, like a nice salad.
I love the Saison.
What a great flight, yeah. Great flight, though. Yep. And, yeah. I mean, cheers to Dovetail for doing some really
Who good knew stuff. Germans knew how to make beer? I mean, weird.
All right.
I might even go to Chicago.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for another great Suds episode. Yes. Good old boy, Kendall. Thanks so much for being here.
It's been a pleasure.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Hi, June. Good old boy, Mike.
I was mostly right all day today, but anyway.
Says
thanks for joining us. Come back and join us once again. Please keep on sipping.
Good old boy, Drew.
You know, the beer was delicious. The egos were as large as ever. Myself included, I will very much enjoy my next time.
It's a great day, right?
Absolutely.
Good old boy, Dave.
Beer up, wine down, baby.
Man, stab me.
This is good old gal Juliana. Thank you for joining us. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a 110 Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
Fiber and glimmer, a tremble that grew to a tremor, untangled. Spider my center, wound with my inner thoughts, and amethyst stammered the winter. Searching my caverns, go for confidence, grasping a language. Thought I was just another stranger in a hopper painting. Pounding back another glass of bitters. But just as night returns today, there's something coming my way. Not too evil through me, good feeling I'm moving, feeling I'm choosing. The questions dance away and leave me woozy. Yes, soothe me, the scene it woos me. The question, who's she? The first to smile, the first to laugh, the first to glance. I find myself floating towards her with an olive branch. All that I am is screaming, man, you never had a chance. But then again, I never took it. I've been under rocks, been under stones to fire. Lilies of the field, September dragonfly. I'm taking my time, seeking one. Waiting for the perfect time to come to me. Just making chances if you really want it on it. Plus my drink is empty, running. Play your card, I got it. If you want to do this thing, let's do it. We ain't getting older. Look at me, I'm stuck in my ways. Catch the stranger gaze, what you gotta say? I don't wanna know, I just wanna flow. I just wanna dance upon the pole. Watch the telescope, you just really need to spit it out. I can second that, if I push myself upon you now. Could you throw it back? Guess I see you in another lifetime, baby.
I've been under rocks, been under stones to find. Lilies of the field, September dragonfly. I'm taking my time, seeking one to know what I can hide, what's on my mind.
Excavation through conversation, seismic gravitation. The planet's breaking the silence. Our horizons now face to face and reverberating. Patience is offended by Phoenix visions, ascended through my attentions. True glaciers melting, glasses clean, leaning his feet. She whisper in my ear, brush my hair, give me a wing. Slinking to me closer, now she puts her hands on my knees. I'm an icicle, it's like riding a bicycle. Now I can tell you all that happened after happenstance. Cause everything inside me froze, I couldn't even stand. Or if that moment was an oyster with the pearl of chance. What the truth is, or if I took it.
Stay.